The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, we are going to talk about this morning this series that I'm going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. We call it, Tammy and I decided to call it March Gladness. Now, if anybody knows anything about college basketball, you know that beginning in March, it's called March Madness because the tournament play starts and it's building up to the big dance, the NCAA tournament play, where it culminates in the Final Four and then, of course, ultimately the championship. But if I want to watch basketball from now until the end of March going in, into April, just about any time of day, I can go turn TV on and find a basketball game, both women's and men's. So I get to watch all the basketball I want to watch. But one of the things that that is all about this March Madness is that they have this championship game that it's all building up to. And it's supposed to, we're supposed to be able to find out who the number one team in the nation is. Well, the reason we have chosen March Gladness is because throughout this month, we want to highlight some of the ministries in the church. We're going to talk about service. The message actually today is entitled Servant of All. And we want to talk about serving in the church and being a servant for the Lord. But the reality is that we are in this big dance with the Lord that is service. We're supposed to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be serving our families. We're to serve the church, the body of Christ. And we're also to serve the world. We're to serve them in such a way that they will see that there is something different about our lives that should cause them to want to know why. Why is there something different? And we can share the reason that there's something different, the reason that we truly love people and love one another, love our families, is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Because we have repented of our sins and received Jesus as our personal Savior. And the service that we provide to Christ, to the church, to our families, to the world, is a desire to please the Lord. It has nothing to do with getting to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. Our heaven, you know, our relationship with the Lord is based on the fact that we recognize He's our Lord and Savior and we've committed our lives to Him. But our service comes because we have a heart desire. It's a heart condition. And that's really what I want to talk to you this morning about is this heart condition that we have, that we're supposed to have, because we have a heart condition which translates into a soul condition which is manifest in our lives, soul realm, our thinking, our mind, will, our emotions, which translates into, or it should, into action. Amen? A little boy was standing in his church looking at a plaque, had a list of names of people who had died as members of the church. And as he was looking at it, the pastor walked up to him and said, "Do you know what that plaque is?" And he said, "No, sir." He said, "That's the names of people who died in service to the church." And his jaw dropped. And he stood there looking at it. He quietly said to the pastor, "Which service, the 9 o'clock or the 10 o'clock? Which service?" Now, sometimes I think we get confused about service. How important is service? It is vitally important to the church. We must be servants. And to back that up, I want to share Mark 9:35 with you, which I've quoted this scripture many times. Jesus sat down, he called his 12 disciples together, and he said to them, If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. If we desire to be anything in the kingdom of God, you must realize that it requires you to be servant to everyone. This word servant, diakonos, it's one who executes and commands the commands of another, a master, a servant, an attendant, a minister. It's a person with the right heart condition. Now, I want you to understand that loving and serving, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll serve me. You'll do the things that I tell you to do. Loving and serving are synonymous, I do believe. The reason we serve is because we love. Has nothing else. We're not trying to gain God's favor. You don't get favor. Yes, I believe there's going to be rewards for being obedient to the kingdom of God and doing the things that God called you to do. I can back that up with scripture. I'm not going to try to do that right now, but I certainly can. But the most important thing is the reason we serve is because we love. First of all, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, we love our families. Third, we love the body of Christ. We should. And guess what? We are to love those who are lost. Love them so much that we're willing to share truth with them. And sometimes that truth comes from being able to minister to them through service. Through serving. All right. The Holy Spirit has gifted us. And the reason He has gifted us is so that we can serve in the kingdom of God. If you sit on your gifts, you're being selfish. The first thing we want to look at this morning then is you have been given gifts to serve. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 4, says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of all of one another. Verse 6. Go on to verse 6, please. Having then gifts differing according to the gifts that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. Verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Here's what we see in this scripture, that each of us, all the whole body of Christ have been given gifts. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just a list of a few things. But here's what he tells us. We do it with excitement and anticipation that we are serving the Lord. We do all, whatever it is that God has given us to do, whatever giftings we have been gifted with, we cheerfully do it to serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, that one after this manner and another after that. So each and every one of us has a gift, and it's a gift given to us according to the will of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that imparts these gifts to us, and we must allow ourselves to be obedient to Holy Spirit, to fulfill the giftings in our life, to be obedient to use those giftings. Listen, many in the body of Christ are gifted, and yet they make excuses. God expects you to use your gifts for the fulfillment of His kingdom. What would it be like? How would you feel if you... Christmas, you bought your children gifts and they got up on Christmas morning, went out to look at their gifts, and they just took their gift and they said thank you and set it aside. Didn't open it, wasn't excited about it. Just thank you. Well, that's exactly what we do many times with the gifting that God has placed in our lives. It's a beautiful gift. And we don't even bother to open it to find out what it's all about. We just set it aside. Thank you, God. That's awesome. And then we go about making excuses. Well, I'm not gifted. You are. Be careful. Because the Word of God says that each one of us has been given gifts. You're coming close to calling God a liar. If you say you're not gifted, you are gifted in some way. You can do something very important in the body of Christ. A gentleman was going out church one day and the pastor grabbed him and said, "You need to be in the Lord's army." And the gentleman said, "I am in the Lord's army." And the pastor said, "Okay, so why is it that I only see you at Christmas and Easter?" And the guy said, "Well, I'm in the Secret Service." "You're not." There is no Secret Service in the kingdom of God. There is only service in the kingdom of God. If we are truly about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, now I'm not legalistic about attending church. I believe that every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, being a part of a body is important. That way we can interact, we can have fellowship, we can learn and grow. But I'm not legalistic about it. I'm not saying that every time the doors open, you have to be there, that you can't do family things, go on vacation, you can't do all these kind of things that we do in this crazy world that we live in. But listen, it's obvious those who truly are serving God with all their heart because they recognize the importance of fellowship with believers and the worship of God. Sunday morning worship is important. Bible study, small group study is important. It's important to be a part of a body. Too many people in the body of Christ want to be in the Secret Service, I believe. The second thing we want to talk about this morning, service is required. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. "And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, what he is telling us here is that he gave this fivefold ministry giftings, the people who stand up in front of groups of people and teach and preach and encourage, exhort, and share the word of God. The purpose of their gifting, and it doesn't exempt them from doing service in the body, but part of their service, part of my service to this body, is to stand up here on Sunday mornings and exhort you from the Word of God so that you can be equipped for the work of the ministry. So that takes the burden off the pastor and puts it on everybody in the congregation. If the work of the ministry is going to take place, you have to be involved. It's obvious, you all know, that I can't do all the work of the ministry. I have my part. I do the things that I should be doing. I try my best. I fall short many times. But if we're going to accomplish just Sunday morning, do you realize how many people it takes to accomplish having this service on Sunday mornings? People behind the scenes that you never know what is going on. Our sound team, our media team, people who are praying and seeking God, greeters out front, ushers, people who are welcoming someone when they come in. Each and every one of you has a part in this service on Sunday morning. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. We have many other ministries that people are involved with. And we encourage you, our food pantry, our thrift store, this Upward basketball program, when that's going on, it takes all of you, it takes this whole body to accomplish all the things that God wants to accomplish. But listen, you must understand, according to the Word of God, your service is a requirement. It's not legalistic, but it is a requirement that you serve in some capacity. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear. I'm not trying to tell you that the only way you can serve the Lord is right here in this local body. I don't want anybody to mistake what I'm trying to say. Wednesday night in our life group, we had this discussion, and we were talking about how people were ministering in the marketplace. And that's awesome. Bob was talking about how he had the opportunity to minister to a guy at his work. And Lisa was not there, but Darren talked about Lisa's thrift store and how she ministers to people and prays for people. And Darren has this smoker, and they have the opportunity to go out and do prepare food and minister to people. Listen, this is marketplace ministry. This is vital ministry in the body of Christ. Wherever you are, you have that opportunity. Wherever you're working, God wants to open the door for you to minister to people around you. Very important. But I do believe this, that if you're a part of a body, you should want to serve in some capacity with that body. You should be looking for opportunities to be able to minister to the people who have needs in your congregation. One of the things I love about this congregation is that when somebody has surgery or there's a sickness or something in a family and we know about it, the ladies will rally around and fix food for that family and meet the needs of those individuals so that, it's not such a burden on them. And the men, I've seen many times that when there's a need, that there's some kind of a task that needs to be done. And we men love tasks. We like to get together and work. You know, we just, that's the way we're built. That's the way God created us. So ministry for us is working with our hands many times and side by side, doing something to help someone. I appreciate this body because you do understand the things that I'm talking about this morning. I know I'm speaking to the choir, but it's really important that we reiterate these things from time to time, that we recognize how important it is. The kingdom of God is all about serving. Very much so. But the body of Christ sometimes falls short in that area. It's sort of like the little boy or the teacher who asked her students, what do you do around the house to help? And, you know, the little girl said, well, I help do the dishes. And one said, I take out the trash and I feed the dogs. And little Tommy was sitting over there and he said nothing. She said, and Tommy, what do you do to help around the house? And he said, I just stay out of the way. Well, the body of Christ has that same approach to serving. Many of them say, well, I just stay out of the way. According to a survey that was taken by Barna, 10% of the church is serving in the church. Only 10%. Now, I got to tell you, I believe that's much higher here at Bethel. And I just want to praise God for that. I thank you all that you understand what it means to be in service. But 10% and the other 50% of those who were surveyed said this. They said, we have no desire to help or be involved with ministry. Now, I got to tell you something. That's part of the blight, I think, of mega churches. Now, I'm not condemning mega churches. Thank God for the large churches. But part of that is that A part of the symptom of mega churches is that people can come in and go out without ever forming any relationships with others. You can slide in those doors and, you know, you're greeted and people help you get a nice seat. My daughter's church in Texas, it's a huge church. And they have two or three services every Sunday. And, you know, there are so many people in there, I can just slide in incognito. I can be Secret Service if that's what I want. And, you know, and people get used to that. You know, I can just slide in and slide out. No one will even know that I've been there. But that's not what church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be a body. A body that works together. A body that understands that we are to meet one another's needs, you know. A body that, you know, if I have an itch in the middle of my back, there's somebody there to scratch it. I can't reach that myself. Jesus is our example in this. And is as our example, in Mark 10:45, it says this: "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That's who we follow, is Christ as our example. If you follow Jesus' teachings, you'll look for opportunities to serve others. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 25, it says this: "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them.'" 26, 27. "It shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." Now there's two different Greek words used here. Servant, diakonos, which is interpreted many times not only as someone who is required to serve, but a willing servant. The other word is doulos, or a slave, someone who is subservient, someone who has actually been purchased to serve a master. The word, the diakonos, is a servant who literally could be employed. Diakonos is someone who is mandated to serve. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul talks to his fellow servant, Tychicus. First, he uses the word diakonos, and then he uses the word doulos. And he's saying that this fellow servant is a servant to the church, but he is also a slave to Christ along with Paul. And we, now this is our mentality is such that we have to work through this and think about it a little bit, because even in this, we are still willing slaves to Christ. No one is forced to serve Jesus Christ, but we willingly give ourselves to his service. Therefore, we are slaves to Christ, which means we will follow and should follow every teaching that he teaches us, that we will follow every word that he speaks to our heart, that we will do everything we can do to please him. He is our master that we love. And in the process, then we are servants to the church. Because we are doulas or slaves of Christ, our commitment to him is manifest in our service to the church. We have an example of this in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 6, it gives it in detail about what someone who is a Hebrew slave who has become, they've come to the place where they got destitute and they had to sell themselves to another Hebrew for service. And they were only allowed to serve, make them serve for 7 years. And at the end of that 7 year period, that person was to be set free. That's freedom. You know, you can't be in bondage forever. It was really hiring yourself out for a period of time. And at the end of that period of time, you're free to go your way. However, if a person wanted to remain in that household, if he liked his master, if he got married and had a family there, and he desired that he wanted to stay, he had a choice. He could choose to remain with that master the rest of his life. But what he had to do was he had to allow that master to take him to the doorpost, take a punch and all, and punch a hole in his ear. And the whole community knew from that time on that man was marked as a servant, a willing slave to his master. We are marked. We have Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's the mark. The mark of a true servant of Jesus Christ. A servant who is willing, we gave our life to the Lord willingly because He gave His life for us. Listen to this little thing here. Service requires action. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, "I feel for you down there." An objective person walked by and said, "It's logical that someone would fall down into that pit." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into pits." A mathematician calculated how deep the pit was. A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on the pit. The IRS agent asked if he was paying taxes on that pit. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit." A fire and brimstone preacher said, "You deserve to be in that pit." A Christian scientist observed, "The pit is just a figment of your imagination. It's in your mind." A psychologist noted, "Your mother and father are to blame for your being in that pit." A self-esteem therapist said, "Believe in yourself and you can get out of that pit." An optimist said, "Things could be worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, reached out his hand and lifted him out of the pit. We are supposed to be an extension of Jesus. When we see someone in a pit, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Reaching out a hand and saying, "Because of Jesus, I want to help you out of that pit." That's service. That's looking for opportunities to serve. Third thing this morning is, service is a sacrifice. There was a Roman coin that was found a few years ago, an ancient Roman coin. And on it, there was a picture of an ox, and it was facing two things. It was facing an altar and a plow. And the inscription read, "Ready for either." The idea here is that we have to be ready for either. Be ready for sacrifice and be ready to work. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So these bodies that we have are meant to be given in service. In Matthew, we're given an incredible parable about how we're to use the talents and the giftings that God has given us in the body of Christ and as believers in Christ. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man, a ruler who was traveling into a far country. And he called his servants to him." He called three servants. "And he said to each servant, the first servant, and he gave according to their ability. He gave the first servant 5 talents, the second servant 2 talents, and the third 1 talent. And he went away. And he expected those servants to do something with those talents. And while he was away, the first one made 5 more talents. And when he came back, he brought the talents, the 5 extra talents and the ones that he was given. And he said to the Lord, 'I've gained 5 more talents. And the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The second one had gained 2 more talents. And he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." The third one said to him, he said, "I knew that you were a harsh taskmaster. And I was fearful. So I took your talent and I hid it away. I hid it so that when you came back, I would give it back to you. And there it is." His Lord, like, it wasn't like the Lord was happy with him. When he found out what was going on, the Lord was very distraught with this man. He said, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At least I would have had some interest when you came back. Then Jesus said this to him, and this is something that we need to take heart. Matthew 25, verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, Jesus is telling us that the giftings and the talents and the abilities that we have, they're meant to be used for the kingdom of God. They're meant to increase. And he said he'll increase those things in our lives if we will use them. And then when he returns, he's going to look at us and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, this world that we live in, it's a tough place. It gets hot sometimes and it gets difficult. I liken it to, you know, an oven. A baker puts a loaf of bread in the oven. And in that oven, that loaf of bread bakes. And that loaf of bread, it turns a little brown. That's when it really looks and tastes good, when it's got just a little bit of brown on it. And when he take it out, he knows that it's done. I liken our lives to that because we are placed in this oven, this world. It gets hot. And it sometimes hurts, and it's difficult. But one day when the buzzer goes off and the Lord Jesus Christ takes us out of this oven, he's going to look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what service is all about. It's going to be difficult. I'm not telling you this life is going to be easy. But the Lord has promised that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. The fourth thing, the last thing I want to share with you this morning, this service must be balanced with relationship. Look, we've got some people in this church that, man, you are incredible servants. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, I could point out some people that they just, that's their heart is to serve. I'm not going to do that because I believe everyone sitting in here has a heart to serve. But we have to be careful that even in the service to the church or whatever, serving one another, that we don't get overwhelmed with nothing but service. Yeah. That's all we're doing. We're working and serving other people. Jesus gave us a real good example of this in Luke chapter 10. When he came to Martha and Mary's house, his friend Lazarus. And Martha welcomed him in, it says. And it also says that not only did Martha welcome him in, but in verse 39 it says that she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. So we have two people here. Martha invites Jesus in, and Mary wants to get close to the master. So that my point here that I want to make sure that everyone understands is service must be balanced with relationship. Now, as I talk about this, I want to make sure that you understand that I don't think that either one of them had a good balance. Now, Jesus commended Mary for wanting to hear his word and grow. But I think she was a little out of balance because there was service that needed to be done, and she wasn't helping. Martha was so overwhelmed with serving, she decided that service was the most important thing. And Jesus points out to her, he said, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha was consumed with service. It had to be done in her mind. Jesus was there. She had company. They had to be fed and taken care of, and all their needs had to be met. You had to serve, serve, serve. And Mary just wanted to hear what the master had to say. Neither one had a good balance. Now, I want to say something here that I completely and totally understand Martha, because I live with a Martha. My wife, Tammy, is truly a Martha. In fact, when she was growing up, some of her family would call her, they would call her something. It just slipped my mind. Wow, I had it on the tip of my tongue. Just slipped my mind. But anyhow, Susie Homemaker. That's what they called her. Susie Homemaker. I think it had something to do with some toys that was out during that time. But they called her Susie Homemaker because Tammy was always all about doing things and serving. She's the kind of person, he's a task and it needs to be done. And she'll do it. But she is very much a Martha because she does it. Because she sees it and she understands it, she thinks everybody else should see it and understand it and be there alongside of her helping. And she's really a very good delegator, and she usually gets people involved. But I want you to understand something. She's come to the place where she has a really good balance in her life now. She knows how to serve, and she knows how to sit and rest. But just to give you an idea of what took place, in Tammy's life, early on in her life, when Tammy and I first got married, she wrote this little note to her mom and dad, because her mom and dad were greatly concerned about her marrying me, and rightfully so. I understand that. But in the household, Tammy, like I said, Tammy was a Martha, and Terry was her younger sister. And from Tammy's perspective, Tammy always saw what needed to be done, and Terry never helped to do anything. That was Tammy's perspective. So there was always this kind of little battle going on between Tammy and Terry. And when after we got married, Tammy wrote this letter to her mom and dad. "Mom and Dad, I know I put you through a lot of trouble and made you worry. I'm sorry, but now please don't worry. Rob and I love each other very much and will be very happy. Thanks for everything." Now, that was pretty naive, but that's how she felt. But here's what I want you to hear. P.S. Make Terry help. That's my Martha. She has expectation that everybody should be helping. And she's right. Everyone should. But Jesus pointed out to Martha, look, it's also important to sit at my feet and learn and grow. Take some time to relax and hear the word. So what I'm saying to you this morning is don't get overwhelmed with service, 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 service. If you're not careful, you'll be serving to the detriment of your spiritual life. Yes, sir. You won't pray, you won't read, you won't meditate, you won't spend time with the Lord because you've always got to be doing something to serve. Right. I want you to have a balance, each and every one of you in this church, to have a good balance in service. Yes, I want you to serve. Do not neglect spending time with the Lord, though. I picked up this little quote somewhere, and I just wanted to share this with you. If we want to be servants of others, we must be masters of ourselves. And being a master of ourselves really means that we spend time at the master's feet. We pray. We read. We spend time listening rather than just always doing something. Serving others is very, very important. Spending time with the Lord is very important. We need to have that balance in our life. I read this story this week. There was missionaries, Bill and Molly Thompson. They were missionaries to Central and South America, and they'd been all over that whole area ministering. And every time they went into a place, they would encounter difficulties. Listen, there's a lot of witchcraft, a lot of voodoo, a lot of all kinds of satanic things going on in those countries, and particularly the third world countries. And so when they go to minister, they knew that they were going to be in spiritual warfare. And they went into country after country. They prepared themselves. They did spiritual warfare. They fought the battles, and they ministered to people and saw things happen. But it took a lot of spiritual warfare. Then they went to Colombia. And they went into this particular city. They didn't even tell what city it was, but they went into this particular city to minister. And when they went into this city, the atmosphere was different. And immediately when they started preaching the gospel, revival broke out. Things started happening. People started getting saved. It was like the enemy had no ability to hinder them in their efforts. And they wondered what was going on. And then they started talking to some locals. And what they found out that was 18 years prior to them, 18 or 20 years prior to them coming, there was a gentleman who came to Colombia, a born-again believer, who was an intercessor. He spent 18 years praying and fasting. He was not an evangelist. He was an intercessor. He prayed and fasted for 18 years. And then he passed away right before these people came to minister in Colombia. What they came to the conclusion was that he had done the warfare on their behalf. And the power of God was released because of him. It takes both. It takes labor and it takes relationship. And without that, without each and every one of us doing our part, the kingdom of God cannot advance as far as it could. It needs all of us, all the time, doing what God has called us to. Stand with me, please. As we continue through this message, March Gladness, talk some more about servanthood and the things that we need to do. But I just want to encourage you, always be aware of opportunities, or look for opportunities to minister to other people. You know, it may just be the neighbor that lives right beside of you, or someone close to you. It may be the person that you're working beside of. In the marketplace, God gives us all kinds of opportunities. It may be that you're one of those intercessors that God has called. And your job is to pray the kingdom of God will be opened up to the lives of people, that you will make a way for those of us who are out there doing the work of the ministry, speaking into people's lives, that you will pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations on behalf of the body of Christ. That may be your calling. I don't know, but I do know this. I know that each and every one of us has been called to serve, and we've been gifted to serve. Ask God where you are. Now, we do a survey in this church. We have a class, spiritual gifts class. We walk you through the different gifts that God imparts in people's lives. And at the end of that, we take a survey. Some people call it a test, but it's not really a test. Don't like to scare people with tests. It's just a survey. And at the end of that survey, you discover what your spiritual gifting is. And I've never had anyone take that, look at it, at the end and say, oh, that's not me. No, almost everyone says, yes, Yes, that's what God has called me to. You can know your gifting, you can learn, and you can apply it in service to the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, today you have called us, you've equipped us, and we thank you, Lord, that you're on the throne. And Father, thank you for the saving grace of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that all we have to do is cry out to you, Lord, and know that we are a sinner, but you saved us by your grace. Each and every person, you've told us that all have sinned and come short of your glory, Lord. Everyone in the face of the earth, because of the original sin, we're all sinners. But you made a way for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we cry out to you today as we make him our personal Savior. Stir our hearts that we will walk in service to the King, that we will walk in service to our families, we will walk in service to the body, and also, Father God, we will walk in service to the world. In Jesus' holy name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.